Let's learn now more about Montenegro. This week, President Trump, along with Tucker Carlson of Fox News, questioned why the U.S. would ever defend this small country, which was formerly part of Soviet satellite Yugoslavia, then Russia ally Serbia. Why defend it, despite the fact that Montenegro is the newest member of NATO and the NATO pledge is when one member is attacked, all will defend it? Here's part of that talk, starting with Carlson.
Why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack?
Why is that? I understand what you're saying. I've asked the same question. You know, Montenegro is a tiny country with very strong people.
Yeah, I'm not against Montenegro or Albania.
No, by the way, they're very strong people. They're very aggressive people. They may get aggressive. And congratulations, you're in World War III.
Nina Jankowicz is Russia scholar at the Wilson Center Cannon Institute. Nina, this came after Trump criticized NATO allies for not paying more for this shared defense. And it also comes as Montenegrins and U.S. lawmakers like John McCain say not only did Russia interfere with the U.S. elections in 2016, Russia attempted a coup in Montenegro in 2016 to prevent it from becoming a democracy and a part of NATO. Your thoughts?
Well, I think not only is it important that it came after the NATO summit, but it came after that two-hour private meeting with Vladimir Putin that President Trump had. We don't know what they talked about. And I have to tell you, this sounds exactly like a Russian talking point. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the disinformation that the Russian government has been putting out for years now, and certainly aligns with this coup attempt that happened 2 years ago in October 2016.
Well, and remind us why Montenegro would be so important to Russia. It has to do with the Adriatic Sea and the fact that Montenegro joined NATO.
Right. So as you said, Montenegro used to be part of the Yugoslav Republic. When it joined NATO, all of these countries on the Adriatic Sea are now NATO members. Russia had, you know, waning influence in this region over the past decade or so. And this was Russia's last-ditch attempt to exercise its influence and keep NATO influence from expanding in the region. But that's exactly why Article 5 and our ironclad commitment to it is so important. It only works as a deterrent if would-be aggressors believe we're committed to upholding it. So by Trump saying these things in public, and this is not the first time he's questioned Article 5, not only in relation to defense spending, but in general, I mean, during his campaign and since becoming president, you know, this is just an open door for Russia or anyone else who wants to send little green men, as they did in Ukraine, across a border and start a hybrid conflict.
And we're reminded that Ukraine, where, yes, men dressed in green, and in Georgia, when Russia went into Georgia, those are not members of NATO.
Exactly. And there has been some question for some time, including from 2008 and onward, whether they should become members of NATO because of these continuing conflicts there with Russia. And I think that's exactly what Russia was attempting to do by fomenting this coup in 2016. And luckily, that plot was foiled and commitments to Montenegro joining NATO were upheld. But the more that President Trump continues to question these commitments that we've made, the less effective they are.
Aren't Montenegrin soldiers on the ground in Afghanistan backing up the U.S. effort there?
That's absolutely true. There are 20 Montenegrin troops in Afghanistan, along with a lot of other NATO allies. And it should be noted that the only time Article 5 has been invoked was after 9/11 with the United States. So we really count on our allies for collective mutual defense. And for us to be questioning these commitments as the de facto leader of NATO is just unheard of.
Nina Jankowicz, Russia scholar at the Wilson Center Cannon Institute. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Robin.